Today is Thursday, May 9th, 2024. This is Quick Start from CBN News. I'm Dan Andros. Pro-lifers are getting sued by the state of New York. We'll have that top story and more on today's podcast, where we bring you news from a Christian perspective. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating if you haven't done so already. We'd appreciate that. You can email us as well, quickstartpodcast@cbn.org. Joining me now to get through the news of the prey, as we do each and every weekday, bright and early, Tregons Phillips, Billy Hallowell. And gentlemen, on the focus story today, we're going to take a look at this Ohio man being hailed a hero for some seriously brave actions.
Yeah, this is a crazy story of this man who rescued a baby from what could have been a deadly situation, so we'll get into that.
Yeah, I love the details there. And Trey, you caught up with Cuba Gooding Jr. for the main thing.
Yeah, it's fascinating to talk to somebody like Cuba Gooding Jr. He's been in so many big movies, and he has a new faith-based movie. So being able to talk about some of his big roles, his career in Hollywood, and how faith has guided him through that was interesting.
All right, looking forward to the details there. Make sure, if you haven't already, subscribe to all of our CBN News podcast offerings. DC Debrief with John Stolness, that's every Friday. New episode there, rounding up the happenings in DC as we're heading into an election season. And Billy's Newsmakers podcast, you can find the links to follow those in the description of this podcast episode. Make sure you go ahead and do that. And right now, we're going to head on over to the news here in 90 seconds. And the state of New York is suing the pro-life group Heartbeat International and 11 crisis pregnancy centers to force them to stop promoting abortion pill reversal services. They're claiming that the groups are promoting a procedure that cannot reverse the effects of the abortion pill. And while that claim is touted by the abortion industry, pro-life doctors have refuted it with actual evidence and many lives saved. A state attorney general, Letitia James, is asking a New York court to forbid Heartbeat International and the other centers from advertising the abortion pill reversal. They call it dangerous misinformation. And artificial intelligence might be used to spread disinformation this election season. One survey finds 3/4 of Americans are worried about the use of AI-generated deepfakes to manipulate public opinion. Just days before New Hampshire's January primary, for example, nearly 20,000 voters received a call using an AI-generated voice of President Biden, discouraging them from showing up at the polls. And on Tuesday, the Biden administration confirmed reports they're withholding a large shipment of 2,500-pound bombs, fearing it would be used in the Rafah operation. Lindsey Graham blasted that decision, saying it's the worst possible signal to send to all the bad guys that America would be withholding weapons and ammunition to the Jewish state, who's under siege on multiple fronts. That's just inciting more violence. Those are just some of today's top headlines. Read more stories over at CBNNews.com. Guys, I wanted to talk about this AI emergence that we've got to deal with here coming into this election. This is something that I've been kind of worried about, because if you think about it, you basically have a society that's having a hard time grappling with basic truths, as we've talked about a lot on this podcast. And then you combine that with an atmosphere in which we have technology that can just basically create things like President Biden's voice, and it sounds like it, to trick people. I mean, we're veering into sort of a world where A, people don't care about the truth, seemingly, and B, now you're not even going to know what's true.
Whether it's video, whether it's audio, whether it's, you know, I think the video and audio is deeply concerning. I mean, if this gets so good that you could show a video of somebody robbing, you know, a bank, yeah, or somebody doing something horrible, you know, you could frame people. There's so many things. But in particular on politics, right? I mean, how many times during elections have we seen so-and-so said, you know, basket of deplorables, and you have a legitimate video that sparks chaos? These fake videos could very easily and quickly spark that sort of chaos and election interference, and that should trouble us.
These videos now will call into question, I think, two things are going to happen. One, it's going to call into question everything, so now nobody's going to believe anything.
Yeah.
And then there are going to be people who are all too willing to believe anything that they see come across their screens. And I think we've seen some of that already happen on the small scale, but I think potentially with AI and a general election year, we're situated to see it happen across the board with people on both sides of the political spectrum and everywhere in between. But I think ultimately AI poses a lot of, I think, moral psychological, spiritual threats that as Christians we should all be really concerned about. I think it's a dangerous thing. We've created a technology that has the potential to become almost ubiquitous in the way that we interact in our world and in our culture, and something that can become so far-reaching and so widespread and ingrained into our culture. I think there's a danger there of kind of submitting ourselves to our own creation in some way, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. And look, if anything, it's for us, especially as Christians, to be discerning in what we see. Don't just be reactive to something, because so many people are out there really just trying to play on your emotions. That's how people get clicks. They just try to throw things out there that they know will enrage you or really make you go, what? And when we have this technology here, really it's like the old stop, drop, and roll. Like stop, drop, and think. Like, where did this come from? Who did this? Is it real? I'm going to double check, because I think that's one of the more dangerous things that's happening in our society right now, is that people just read things quick and then just share them and spread them. I see it all the time. People say that, well, I didn't actually look at it, and now that you bring it up, don't be that person. We all make that mistake from time to time. Yeah.
Pause, think, and verify. There you go.
Pause, think, and verify. I like it. So a new quick start motto there. All right. Let's head on over to, this is a positive story here. What could have been a very, very tragic one, but ended up not being that. There's a hero in Ohio. Authorities are calling him a hero anyway for his actions. This is incredible. What happened here?
Yeah, this is a 62-year-old guy named John Stickovich, and he was driving to work on Monday, and he started, and look, you know, a lot of us were driving, we're not paying attention, but he was clearly paying attention. He noticed there was smoke coming out of a house, and that smoke that was billowing out forced him to sort of pull over, and when he pulled over, he saw a woman outside. She was a mother sitting on a tree near her lawn, sitting near a tree on her lawn, and she told him that one of her kids, her baby, was still inside the house. She said, my baby's still in the house. And he's like, I'm thinking to myself, I have to go save that baby. So imagine you're driving to work, you see this, you jump out of the car, and suddenly you're faced with a situation of needing to walk into this, you know, house. It's a total inferno. And so he ends up trying to get in through the front. He's not able to get in through the front because of the flames and because of the smoke. So he ends up crawling through an open door into the kitchen, and he starts to look for the child. And what's so crazy about this is that he can't find the kid, right? There's so much smoke. He leaves the house, goes back to the mother. He's like, where's your baby? And so he ended up, I think, going back in three times, and he almost gave up. He was like, it was getting so bad in there. I was getting ready to leave, and then the baby cried or made a sound. And just absolutely incredible. He was able to find the child in the nick of time and get out of the house with the baby safely.
Yeah. I mean, really incredible. The baby just cried right at the right time. And that quote where he did say, I was about to give up. I mean, how many times can you go walking into fire, right? If baby's not there, he's not there. Maybe he already passed away. And horrifying to think about. But he hears this cry. Yeah, goes back in. That is unbelievable. You can't help but think of a little bit of divine intervention there. Did the firefighters say anything after all this?
They did, yeah, because I know a lot of people were kind of wondering, well, you know, where were the firefighters, right? This happened so fast, but when he got to the house and the smoke was there and the fire was raging and the woman was outside, the firefighters weren't even there yet. So they're calling him a hero. They said he very likely saved the baby's life, that had he not been there, there's a very solid chance that this baby would not have survived. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, this hero, he said he feels wonderful that he could save the baby, that the mother doesn't have to mourn her baby, and that the baby gets to live. He said, I would do it for anybody. It doesn't matter. And I would hope that somebody would do it for me.
You got to pray you have a neighbor like that guy, because that is remarkable. And I know it's common, like we all think like, oh, we would go in, but man, a burning building that's just engulfed in flames is a lot easier said than done when you have the punishing heat of the flames overtaking a building and you're thinking, well, what am I going to do anyway? If I get in there, am I going to be able to see anything? I'm just going to get burned up and die. So yeah, it's a very selfless act, and great to see that there are still people willing to do it. And I got to say, there's been a couple, like in the last couple of years in my area where I live, a couple of major house fires, and it's kind of shocking. We were all sort of triggered anytime somebody would have like a campfire in their yard, you know, fire pit or something. We'd all be like, uh-oh, we smell the smoke again. And you just don't know when it's going to happen. Like the littlest things can do it. I think somebody was, one of them was changing. They were like using the cloths to kind of refinish their hardwood floors and just had put a bucket of them in the garage and forgot about them there. And they just got hot and combusted. They just spontaneously burst into flames. And then that spread and eventually something blew up in there, causing a huge house fire. The whole house is destroyed. So, man, you just never know when it's going to hit. And you just hope that, heaven forbid it does, that people are there to help out.
Yeah, I think it's a good reminder, I think, of to take those practical steps, right, to make sure that you know what your living situation is, where things are, what the, you know, do it, everything you can to protect yourself. But then also it's a reminder that life is fragile, things happen. And, you know, we need to, one, of course, primarily always be in right standing with the Lord, but two, realize that we may be part of part of God's plan to intervene in a situation. Yeah. This man was part of God's plan to supernaturally intervene in this situation and save that 11-month-old's life. So I think making sure that we are, ready and willing to listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and interact on His behalf when we are called to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love that reminder because it's very easy to go throughout the daily grind and kind of just get numb to the things happening around us and whatnot. So a good reminder for sure. And glad everything worked out okay in that situation. So appreciate that story on the podcast today. We're going to head over to the main thing now. And Cuba Gooding Jr. opened up about some of his biggest roles, why turning away from God has damaged culture in his newest movie, The Firing Squad. A film inspired by a story of three Christians who, while they were in prison and facing execution, saw the Lord use them to lead inmates to Christ. Trey has that conversation on today's Main Thing.
Well, Cuba Gooding Jr., thank you so much for being here with us here at CBN. How are you today?
I'm blessed, brother. You?
I'm good. Look, it's good to talk to you about your new movie, The Firing Squad. So,
yes.
How did that opportunity come about, this movie for you to be in The Firing Squad? Because it's based on a true story and you're playing right. A real-life character.
That's right. So Tim Shea is the writer, director, producer, and I had worked together on a film called Freedom, which was a slave tale, a handful of years ago. And he didn't direct that one. He produced it. And he, you know, we just hit it off and he said, I'm going to keep you in mind for something really great. And 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years passed. He literally called me last year and he said, so I'm going to send you this script about this true story of these three Americans and read it. Tell me what you think. I'd like you to play one of the Americans. So I read the script and I wept at the end of it. It was just one of those stories where you read and you're just like, boy, is this timely? Like, we need this. Here you have three guys who go over there, they get mixed up in drugs, but then they're sentenced to death. They're sentenced to the firing squad. And here we are in society today. I mean, you look at Iran, you look at Mohammed Usoloff, the director that just now, he just got sentenced to 8 years and flogged and beaten, the other rapper over there who's been sentenced to death. And here's a story of three Americans that find themselves in the same predicament, but they're Americans. And it just hit me. It was one of those powerful stories where I was like, here we are caught up in politics and all of these things. And you got your religious beliefs and you're ready to kill somebody. Ignore the fact that God said thou should not kill. And this is the country we live in, to have the freedom to say things and not be put to death. So I read it. I was like, I'm absolutely committed to telling this story. And I think it's time for these stories to be told.
Yeah, for people who might not know some of your backstory, could you tell us a little bit about some of your own faith journey? You were raised in a Christian home, and you've talked about that. And you went into Hollywood, and like so many, I mean, all of us, you know, you can stray from what you're raised in. You could walk away from things you believe for a season, but the Lord's brought you back, and you're now more committed to your faith now in this season of your life. How did that happen? What was it that sparked that change?
I know it's a popular narrative to say he's found God again. I never left God. I never left my family. I never needed a recommitment from reading any script. Mrs. McCraven, I gave my life to the Lord when I was around 13 years old. Mrs. McCraven, I brought my mom to the Lord, and my mom is she's the prayer warrior of the family. And every day I wake up and every day I go to bed, I pray, thine will be done. And I'm an actor first. And God knows I'm an actor first. And I've had positive, glowing roles of reaffirmation of his faith in us as a humanity, from Master Chief Carl Brashear in Men of Honor any of the Tuskegee Airmen movies that I've done, Dory Miller in Pearl Harbor, to the dark ones, like in The People versus O.J., where I played O.J. Simpson, and Nicky Barnes in American Gangster. But my job and what God has put me here to do is navigate these waters in Hollywood as a warrior of God, and to do my job. So, you know, when you're in these waters, you're exposed to so many things, positive and negative, and you have to just kind of know where your base is. You gotta have to know who you are. You know, you can't believe the headlines. You can't read them and think that this is how they define you. You have to have defined yourself, and then you can walk into the valley of the shadows of death and know that you have an instrument that will allow you not to fear no evil. And that's kind of how I just live my life, you know. And I just don't let I just don't sweat the small stuff. And like my mom said after my dad passed away, she said, "Never let them steal your joy. Don't ever let them take that away from you." And that's just kind of been my motto throughout my career.
Yeah. You know, when you're playing some of those heavier roles, like you mentioned playing O.J. Simpson, I mean, that's a heavy topic to cover, and even heavier when you're playing the lead role. You're playing O.J. Simpson. It's a complex story, a complicated character, and there's a lot of dark subject matter when you're dealing with that. As somebody who's a believer in the Lord, what steps do you take to go in and maybe, if any, maybe this isn't something you've dealt with, but how do you protect yourself spiritually? Yeah. In roles like that?
To some degree, you can't. When you are doing a scene and you're grieving the loss of a loved one, your body doesn't know you're not really grieving. The tears come down. You get a rash on your arm because your body thinks you're dealing with grief. There are certain roles that have scarred my soul, my psyche. And it's just, it is what it is. But at the end of the day, I have to have faith and know that God has put me on this journey. It's that old saying that gold isn't gold without fire. I've been to the fire a few times. But I'm still a piece of gold. And it's so sad when I see when people take their lives in that really darkest hour, because there is no tomorrow for them. And I know my prayer and my promise from the Lord is that there is always tomorrow. And, you know, a lot of times I don't know why I'm put in the situations I'm put in. But I just say, God, thine will be done. And afterwards, I always come out the better. And I didn't understand that when I was younger, because I didn't understand God's will be done. Well, how do I know what his will is? Well, you'll know, because you know that you'll have been through something good or bad, and you'll know that you've been better for it. So I just try to remember that when I go see this. I still haven't seen The People versus O.J. It's like, it's one of those things where it brings me back to the backseat of that white Bronco. And it's like, I mean, I grieved for 3 weeks during that. And we had to shut down the freeway in Long Beach so we could only shoot 2 days at a time. And that whole sequence took 6 to 8 days. So for 3 weeks. And as my car would pull up, they'd have the police escort, they'd lock the freeway off, and I'd see the Bronx all of a sudden. You know, and it's that thing, but it's to know that God is the foundation here, that even though I'm grieving and going through this stuff, I know where home is.
Yeah.
And that's what gives me peace at the end of the day.
So even with this movie, your new movie, The Firing Squad,
yeah,
how did that, the process of acting in that, in that movie, because that also deals with some heavy subject matter. Obviously, there's a lot of great news that came out of it, but also there's some difficult stuff that you're dealing with, that your character's dealing with. How did that challenge or change you in the process of making the movie?
Yeah, it was one of those things where I had, it's so funny. So my father was a musician, lead singer of the group, The Main Ingredient, did that song, Everybody Plays the Fool. Anyway, he would always say to me, you're not a singer, you're an actor. You stick to acting, you stick to acting. And when he passed away, I finally found my voice as a singer. And in this role, specifically in the firing squad, you have these people, not just Americans, but you have these people being put to death all throughout the movie. And they're pleading and they're going, I can't believe this. It can't be happening, please. And they're pleading. But yet these three Americans, they found a way to find grace in their darkest moment. You know, it's hard to talk about it until you see the movie, because I don't want to give a lot of it away. But there's a moment where they're singing Amazing Grace. And the voice that came out of me, I truly believe, was from my father. Mm. And it's one of those, keep your vessel open so that your character can experience the gift that God is giving you. And again, that was that's another scar in my soul. Not all scars are bad, you know. But yeah, that was another scar in my soul, I think.
Yeah. You know, one of the last questions I want to ask you is, and this goes to why I think it's so important that we make movies and release movies like The Firing Squad, movies that really deal with these heavy topics but also are hopeful ultimately, because I think we live in a world right now that's just so lost. I mean, we look at our culture now and you see all the problems in society, and then you look at the fact that God has been removed from so much of society. I mean, is absent from society, and you mentioned an anthem in your life is God's Will Be Done, which is, our culture is all about me, 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 and that anthem is all about, Lord, what do you want? So talk about balancing those two things. And like, I think you can't deny that God's absence from society is a huge reason why society is crumbling in so many areas.
So I think, you know, it always happens, right? Everybody says, I'm an atheist, until the truck goes over the cliff and the first thing they yell at is, oh God, oh God, I found you, help me now, just in case, let me roll the dice. On another note, we have Americans right now that are in the Bahamas because they forgot to take the rounds from their gun out. So now they're facing a very uncertain future. We took, and you know, the phrase of God out of the national anthem in schools. You know, at some point, we as a nation, not just the United States, but as a world nation, has to come.
All right, Trey, thanks for that conversation there with Cooper Gooding Jr. And that's going to leave us here with time on the pod for one last thing.
Well, I think it's appropriate we look at Romans 12:10, which we've looked at before on the show. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. We recently shared that one, but it's worth bringing it back because the guy we talked about earlier, risking his life for the sake of a child, just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's that humility, which is the opposite of pride, and what God and Scripture calls us to do is to be humble and to serve others, and that's a perfect verse to remind us of that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, whether it's a marriage, a friendship, family members, whatever it is, we should esteem others as more important, as higher than ourselves. I think that's the best way to function in a society.
Yep, not always easy to do and pull off, given our sinful natures, but it is what we are called to do. So let's pray for one another that we will be able to shine God's light through humility and service to others. All right, Lord willing, and that creek don't rise on us. We'll be back here tomorrow with more news from a Christian perspective. God bless. See you then.